What's shaking? Hey, I'm Rick Jordan. Today, we're going all in. All right, I have an amazing guest today, and it's even more amazing because he's in studio and he's a good friend of mine and a mentor and just a good human. He's actually been on the show, I think, once prior, a few years ago, you know, in the earlier days of the show, and now he's back because he's actually here in Chicago because another company that he's involved with is going public, and I'm pleased to welcome my friend and mentor, Darren Jacklin. Welcome.
Grateful to be here in Chicago. It's great being in the studio with you. What a setup you've got here. I'm very impressed with this.
Thank you. Thank you. We try to do some good things.
This is quite the production behind the scenes that people don't see off camera.
For sure. Absolutely. It's funny because some even think like this is a green screen. You know,
yeah.
Most of our listeners are on, most of our all-inners are on audio. They listen to it on Spotify, iTunes, you know, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play or Google Podcasts, all of that. Yeah, there's only a few that watch video, but yeah, this is exciting in here, man.
Very impressive. You've done a lot of work, a lot of planning.
Yeah, for sure. No doubt. I like doing things with excellence, you know, especially when it comes to this. It's just a place for me. But that's a good point because it's wherever all this started, and I'm sure it's the same for you, like with your story. You've got your book here, which is awesome, Until I Become. You know, which I've read, and it's an amazing book, first off, but talking about like the beginning days.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, and like even the beginning days of the show, you know, I did like 7 episodes in Lightspeed Studios with Brad Lee, at the very beginning of the show. And then I transitioned into here, but here it was literally just myself, a webcam, a desk, and a Yeti microphone when we started.
Incredible.
You know, like 6 years ago. And now it's 500 episodes and, you know, there's... Geez, I can't remember. I think it's 80 countries we're in now, which is amazing.
That's incredible. Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you. But for you, I mean, you take a look back at where you started too, and it's incredible. What I want to ask, because I read the book. Mm-hmm. The book's awesome. I read it because it came out, I think a year ago, year and a half ago?
About 2 years ago, yeah.
Almost 2 years ago. The title... that's on this, because that's not something that was very evident to me in the book. I mean, I understand where it is, but how did you come up with the title, Until I Become?
Great question.
Knowing you, there's a story.
Yeah, we had a focus group. So I had a team of people during COVID-19, during the lockdown. So I had no interest to ever write a book. I toured years ago with Mark Victor Hansen, who co-authored Chicken Soup.
Oh yeah, he's been on the show, yep.
And, you know, he's in the Guinness Book of World Records, him and Jack Canfield, for books. And Mark said to me, he says, you know, you should write a book. And I had limiting beliefs because of, you know, childhood trauma growing up as a kid in special education from grade 1 to grade 12, never went to regular public school. And I just thought, why would I ever, it's just not my strength and skill set to write a book. So then during COVID-19, Tatiana, my partner in my life, she's got a master's degree in curriculum education. She's very smart, very intelligent woman, you know her very well. And she says, you know what? We're going to write a book, your book. And I said, from what? And she goes, Darren, you've been journaling for 30 years of your life every day. You have a lot of private conversations in your life. You've met a lot of very influential people around the planet. And there's a lot of things that you could serve humanity. Because what I did was I had a standing rule in my life that nobody could read my journal, especially my private conversations, until upon my death. And during COVID, I was very intimate with Tatiana Sharon. I want to share some things with you. So I shared some things with her, some practical life lessons, the things I've learned from some of the most influential people in life on the planet. They're in business, finance, celebrities, and a lot of off-topic conversations. So, you know, it'd be late night, early mornings, just out for a hike with people. And people share with me this wisdom that they did in their lives. And I'm like, oh my gosh, why don't you ever share that with people? And they said, Darren, nobody ever asked these questions.
Wow.
And because I'm very curious, I'm a sponge for learning. So what we did is the book is a very practical book, less than 100 pages, but it's about my backstory, come up story, success story, but it's also about things I learned. For example, one of the things is that most of your goals and dreams do not require your actions.
You told me that 3 years ago, man. And
right?
I was like, that was mind blowing.
Yeah. You know? And most people think, what do you mean? Most of my goals and dreams do not require my actions. What it's about is creating teams and teamwork. Sir Richard Branson has 400 companies, approximately, right? About 400 companies. But he's not involved in the day-to-day operations. And so the key thing is that like I have over 7,000 written documented goals for my life. My target is to get to 10,000 written goals.
Wow.
Right? So I'm always achieving things, checking things off, adding things. And I realized, like, as I'm here right now doing this podcast, that there's people, just like yourself, running day-to-day operations on teams that I have around the world, internationally, working with me in different companies, that are doing things that report to me. So I know my genius. I know my strengths. I know my skill set. I know my lane. And I stay in that lane. And that's what I do. And so the book was, I wrote the book in a way with a team. Until I Become was really Until I Become, because a lot of people are searching for who they want to be. What's their true, authentic self-expression of who they are as a human being?
Yeah, yeah.
And for a lot of people, it's until I become a great father, a great mother, a business owner, a CEO, whatever it is for them, it's Until I Become. And so I had a lot of adversities, failures, challenges, setbacks. You know, I was once homeless. I lived on the streets. I was on welfare. I had an R9 credit rating through Equifax and TransUnion Credit, which is the worst metric score you can get through there. And I went from there to becoming a multimillionaire. You know what I mean? So I show people how I never went to college, never went to university, never, you know, was most likely not to ever succeed in life, ever amount to much. And yet, when I just had daily habits and routines consistently come out over a period of time, it multiplied and expanded. And now I've done things that most people don't ever dream of. Like, I'm here in Chicago right now with a company we're taking public tomorrow, and I've already been to NASDAQ 3 times, ringing the closing bell, and I'm now here at the Cboe Exchange here in Chicago with another company. And I just look at myself. I never went to Wharton School of Finance or Harvard or Stanford or Yale University, nothing. Nobody ever would have bet on me. And I've done all these extraordinary things with teams of people.
It's amazing, man. I love where the title comes from, you know, now that you've explained it. And you know, when you said that, there's one thing that caught me. When you said, like, I know my lane and yes. I try my best to stay in it. It's a process to figure out exactly what your lane is, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Well, I'll give you an example. So a few years ago, I was statistically fat and overweight and obese. Okay. If you look at a health guide, if you measured me body mass index, I was overweight. And what happened was I was in Niagara Falls, Ontario, Canada, speaking at a real estate conference for about 1,200 people, just before the pandemic broke out with COVID-19. And I remember that day clearly being in my hotel room, putting on a brand new dress shirt and a suit, and feeling insecure, thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to maybe blow some buttons on my dress shirt because I've been eating so much fast food and it's compounded. Now, you know, in life, time will either promote you or time will expose you. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah,
and now I'm being exposed for my actions of what I've consistently been eating.
By your shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because it's the results.
Yep.
These are the results I've produced. And I'm going on stage in front of all the who's who of real estate in North America, like major players, kind of like the Grammy Awards for real estate in North America. And they're televised, and I'm thinking to myself, oh my gosh, I'm on stage for 45 minutes and I might blow these buttons. And I got so disgusted with myself, I said, I don't want to live my life this way anymore.
Yeah.
So I went on stage, I felt embarrassed. Nobody knew because I know my stuff and I'm very well prepared. But behind it, my self-talk was very negative that day, saying, look at you, you fat, disgusting pig. Look at how overweight you are. Look at how you've let, you're 48 years of age. Look at how you've let this go out of control. So I flew back from Toronto to Vancouver, called up a couple of friends of mine. I said, I want to go hiking with you. I'm like, okay, great. Now, you remember, I was not a hiker.
Yeah.
I was out of shape and out of breath. So I went and did this hike in Vancouver that normally takes kids in elementary school about 45 minutes to an hour to hike. Took me 2 hours and 40 minutes to get to the top.
Wow.
When I got to the top, the two people I was with were licensed real estate agents. They had to go do open houses. It was on a Saturday. So I'm here at the top of this bunny hill, this little hiking hill, and I'm thinking to myself, I don't want to call 911 and I don't want to call search and rescue. And I'm embarrassed to have to figure out how I'm going to get down this hill. Okay. Because I'm so out of shape and out of breath. So I managed to get back down the hill, got to my car, opened my car door. I said, this is it. I got so disgusted. I don't want to live my life this way anymore. So I made a change. Today, I'm in the best physical shape of my life. Last year, I summited Mount Kilimanjaro in Tanzania, East Africa. And now I'm training next year in January 2025 to summit Mount Vincent in Antarctica for mental health awareness and through Link Foundation to help build schools around the world for some of the most impoverished children.
Wow.
Now, here was the turning point for me. One of the gentlemen who's been helped train me, he said, Darren, the reason why you're not releasing weight, the reason why you're not in the best shape of your life is that you do not have a belief system that you're an athlete. He goes, so let's have a conversation about you being an athlete. And I said, he said, what comes up for you? I said, well, I was always a kid who was last picked on any team in school sports. In physical education in elementary school, I was always picked last. I never played sports growing up, never identified to it, watching on TV. I always saw kids that that's not me. I'm not that way. I don't have the genetics, the DNA. So every time I saw it, I saw pain. I saw discomfort.
Yeah.
I never saw myself as an athlete. And when Joe said to me, he said, Darren, I want you to start imagining every day you wake up that you eat like an athlete, you breathe like an athlete, you sleep like an athlete, you walk like an athlete, you are an athlete as your affirmations. And since I started to identify myself as an athlete, over the last couple of years, my life is totally transformed in terms of my health, my fitness, my vitality, and my multiplication of expansion of energy.
That's incredible.
I reinvented myself, and I really believe in the next 12 months as I train for Antarctica, within 12 months from now, I'll become unrecognizable because of my daily habits, my routines, my systems, my processes I've now incorporated into my life and the healthy eating habits that I've got, but also because, like, to me, I didn't used to sleep a lot. Now I focus on sleep recovery time, the amount of water I drink, what I eat, and then I metric and track everything that I eat and drink every day into apps on the phone. And every week I have an accountability call with a coach that he goes through with me on Zoom video conferencing virtually and shows me my dashboard of all my metrics, everything I'm eating. I get my blood work done quarterly. I was terrified of needles. Getting to poke needles in my arm, terrified. Almost passed out just last year when they didn't put a needle in my arm. Almost passed out. The nurse, getting the nurses there because I was feeling very very weird and a lot of stuff. But now, just a whole different identity of what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I changed. Yeah. But the cool thing about it also too is I'm inspiring other people now because they see me as a guy like, oh my gosh, Darren's doing these mountains. He's doing all this stuff. That it's a whole new identity of who I am. And I'm 51 years of age today, but I'm making changes and making moves at this stage age in my life.
So what I'm hearing you say through all this, which, by the way, congratulations on all of that. That's incredible. You know, I've known you for a while, I think about 4 years at this point, you know, and it's really cool to see the transformation from my side too. And I notice it, but you know, where I notice it most is in your mind.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, you've always been right in front of people. Like you said, you could always show up, you're prepared, you know, so you always come off as well-spoken, always, you know, but what I've seen is more almost fluency in expressing who you are develop over the last couple of years. And it's been really cool to see that.
Well, I'll share with you. So interesting thing with that was I confronted myself a couple of years ago that of how much I lied to myself as a human being. And I started to map out in a journal of actually how much I lied to myself. For so many years, decades, I lied to myself about my health, my fitness, my nutrition.
Wow.
You know, lied to myself in my 40s about my finances, my relationships, all these things. And it's fascinating when we look at us as human beings, how much we actually lie to ourselves on a daily basis, right? And when we confront ourselves, like I have more than once now, it changes my life in terms of authenticity, vulnerability, and realness.
That's cool. Well, that's a safety mechanism for us, isn't it?
Because we want to look good. We don't want to look bad.
For sure. Yeah. It just keeps us in a place to, well, almost a place of complacency, but also a place of suffering.
Yes.
Yeah, to where it's a mutual friend of ours, David Meltzer, always says, truth has the highest vibration.
100% it does, for sure.
Yeah, and I can only imagine, it's like as you're talking here, it's like I'm almost starting to take inventory. It's like, what am I doing to myself?
Yeah.
You know, are there different areas to where I need to, I mean, you journal, you know.
Every day.
It's hard for me to get down and write in a journal. I don't know how you do it for real, but that's, we were talking last night with my son and you were encouraging him to do that too. Yeah. You know, journal everything, which is, now I know how you wrote your book. I had no idea prior to this.
Yeah.
But that's, it's almost like if you look at it from a corporate perspective, it's almost like you're setting measurements.
You are. And also too, is that if you look at it in business, you know, if it hasn't been written, it hasn't been said, right? In the court of law. So when you write things down, you have a verbal agreement, a verbal contract, and you have a written agreement, written contract. You'll believe the written over the verbal. So when you write things down, like I always work things out on paper. So when I'm scenario planning, best case scenario, likely case scenario, worst case scenario, I always plan things out on paper. And, you know, whiteboards, flip charts. I'm old school with that stuff, but it works.
Yeah.
And I use different colored markers. Even when I'm journaling, different colored markers and pens that I use all the time. But I find I work things out on paper. I get it out of my head and work it on paper. Also, too, is what I've really discovered in my life is that without integrity, nothing works.
Yeah.
And what I've realized now in being in my 50s is that, you know, in life, time will either promote you or time will expose you. It's just a matter of time, whether you get promoted or you get exposed. So what I realize now, when I consistently do things, I'm about getting promoted versus getting exposed. Mm-hmm. And so what I really focus on, if you look at a lot of people in life, you know, you hear the expression that talk is cheap.
Yeah,
I think most people cheapen their talk because their words have no power. And so what I've discovered is that what I do is integrity tests all the time with people. I give them micro commitments.
Wow. Can you go back real quick and say that again? The talk is cheap.
Yeah. So most people in life, talk is cheap, but most people cheapen their talk because their words have no power.
Wow. You just blew my mind today.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Because their words. So the thing is, I'll give you an example in business. I have a lot of people who work with me like you do as well. I don't manage people. I don't manage human beings. I manage people's promises.
Mm, right on.
So what I do is I hold people accountable and responsible for give their word to. Because your word creates your world. When people really get present to that, your words create your world.
Wow.
And so I'll give you an example. Imagine right now if you pulled out your phone, everybody listening or watching, pull out their phone. I said, we're gonna have a dinner party in 30 days from now. And I want you to take 25 of your top people in your mobile phone, and I want you to send them a text message right now. Give them a date and a time and a location if we're going to meet them for a dinner party. There's some people right now on your phone, if you text them, they're going to respond back. They're like, hey, I'll be there at that date, time, location, no problem. And that's it. You set it, forget it, they will be there. It's wow. Done deal. Other people are like, oh my gosh, do I have to send my calendar invitation? How many reminders do I have to give them? Do I have to order an Uber or a taxi for them? Are they going to show up? How much food do I have to prepare? How many people are we going to set the dinner party for? All these logistics you got to plan out. And I said to myself a few years ago, I want to be the person that when I give my word to something, it's a done deal. Mm. Nobody even questions it. Nobody even questions it. Yeah. That when I say something, it's done. They don't question it at all. And I take on that accountability and responsibility of my life. And it's amazing the doors of opportunities that opened up for me. Your bank account changes, your lifestyle changes, the people around you change, because people know that when you say something, your words create your world. It's powerful.
Yeah, it is. Wow. There's a chapter in here that you talk a little bit about that too, from what I remember. I can't remember where it was, but it's there's so many stories in here. I'm racking my brain because it's probably been like a year. As soon as you released this is when I got it. You know, yeah. I've been ordered it off of Amazon. You were willing to send me a book, which I'm grateful for, but I ordered it off of Amazon to get it. And it's absolutely incredible. There's power in what you're saying today, and the reason being, and I think everyone listening needs to grasp onto this too, because it's as you're talking about this, and I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of somebody else, like not us, and hearing all of your stories. And with your stories, it's like, wow, look at all that. It's like I don't know why it is, but it's just a gut instinct that I've got people listening today like, well, my life isn't that exciting. I don't have those powerful stories. You know, I can't look back and say that I've gone through this hardship in my life and now I'm on top of Mount Kilimanjaro, you know, or wherever it is. What would you say to those people who think it's like, I don't have a story?
Every human being, you know, it's like you're a chapter or two ahead of everybody else. With globalization of the planet today, you know, living in a first world country, for example, you know, our biggest, what we complain about is what somebody prays about is an example. You know, your biggest complaint is somebody else's wish.
Wow.
And so what I always say is that no matter what you're doing in your life, every day you wake up, count your blessings and be grateful, because your life, the way, no matter what it is, if you're average and ordinary, or just whatever it is, paycheck to paycheck or how you're living, there's somebody in the world who's making less than $2 a day. Working 10 to 12 hours a day. And we're very grateful to live here, to have electricity, clean. Like, as we're doing this interview right now, you're not thinking about the power going out.
Yeah.
Or somebody stealing the generator or having put gas in the generator.
Ironically, it has before. You're right, I don't think about it still, even though it has happened. Yeah.
When I'm in the African continent or third world countries, because with our foundation, we do a lot of humanitarian work, you know, we have to continuously plan for all those things, just in case it happens, scenario planning. So the thing is that every human being is following a set of hierarchy of values. Every human being is living according to their value system. And people say, well, what do you mean by your value system? Your life demonstrates, if you look around your environment, your life demonstrates what's the most important to you. Yeah. So if you look on social media, people say, well, you know, I like spending time with my family or my children or my spouse or partners and living other. Other people like traveling. Other people like doing sports or hobbies or interests.
Yeah.
That's your value system. Right. So sometimes you go places and you meet somebody and it's like, man, I didn't even know that person was even in that room, because you're not in the same value system. Where someone's like, oh my gosh, we just met together. So the key thing is to look at is that every human being contributes to each other on the planet. And here's something to look at. I talk about this in Until I Become. As human beings, all we are is a network of conversations.
Powerful.
All we are is a network of conversations. And anything that you and I want in our lives is going to come from having conversations with strangers. But one of the challenges in our environments growing up is that we're taught, don't talk to strangers because strangers are unsafe. We hear it all the time in the media. Yeah. Sometimes grow up in our families, our environments, our communities where we live, don't talk to strangers. But strangers are everything you want, need, and desire in your life. And it comes down to two things, requests and promises. So I always ask people, what do you promise to yourself? So what I do is, you know how we set goals or people set New Year's resolutions?
Yeah.
What I do is I set personal promises to myself. What do I give my word to? What am I accountable, responsible, and committed to? What What are my personal promises? So I have personal promises.
To yourself, not to others. Yeah.
I have personal promises around my relationship with Tatiana. I have personal promises around my health, fitness, and nutrition. I have personal promises around my finances. I have personal promises around different things. Because when you make a personal promise, it's different than setting a goal or a target. Yeah. It's a personal promise. So then you set a personal promise. Then what it is okay. Then it's about making requests. So for every question that we don't ask, the answer is always no. Mm. But when we make a request, people only do one of three things. Step number one is they'll accept the request. Step number two is they'll decline the request. Or step number three is they'll counteroffer the request. So what you do is you start to make requests. So what I do is most of my goals and dreams don't require my actions, but I know that opportunities get created inside of network of conversations. So what I always share with people is that, so I'll give you an example. We do these hiking fundraisers across Canada. We're going to the United States now. And every time we do a hiking for a cause, we bring people from all walks of life. We then build a school. We collect the money through hiking registration, corporate sponsorship, and merchandise sales. We then collect that money, goes to Link Foundation, people get a tax sheet, and then we build a new school. Now people are part of a humanitarian project. And I follow a three-metric system. Step number one is, what is our promise? How many hikers do we want for this hiking fundraiser? So we'll have like 100 hikers. Okay, so our promise is 100 hikers.
Yeah.
Okay, what is our actual? Our actual is how many hikers have paid and registered. That's the actual. And then step number three is what's the gap? So what I ask my teams all the time is, what's our promise? What's our actual? What's our gap? And so what we do is we play a network of conversations game. Okay, let's just start having conversations, enrolling people into coming out to support their mental health, making a difference, helping serve people, being in a community, networking, collaboration in community, but also being out in nature. And through that, we'll get a chance to enrich people's lives, some of the most impoverished children on the planet, right? And so what I do is I just say, okay, let's just have a network of conversations and create possibilities for people to bring people out and find out what is it they really, really want in their lives. And by creating an environment, a culture with an Elevate to Educator, hiking for a cause, we then will create an ecosystem where people then can fulfill on achieving their personal promises, their goals and dreams, because we've set the game up to win with people around that are like-minded.
Brilliant.
So you create this ecosystem. So like last time we did a hiking fundraiser last year, we had six people came out and are now international best-selling authors. And then these people showed up to go on a hike.
Yeah,
never ever thought they were going to do that. But the thing is, it's not what you know, it's who you know, it's who you have access to. Because proximity is power.
For sure it is.
So it's a network of conversations. So people always say to me, oh my gosh, it's so hard to make money. No, we don't have money problems in life. We only have thinking problems in life.
Yeah.
There's no lack of financial resources on this planet. It's a lack of thinking, of solving problems and serving people, and then having a network of conversations.
I've noticed the same thing. Yeah, absolutely. Is that, you know, everyone asks, how did you get where you're at today? You know, it's like, well, I'm grateful for the mentors I've had along the way. You know, because every room that I walk into, I don't want to be the smartest person.
Yeah.
You know, unless I'm literally brought there to be that person.
That's right.
You know, if someone seeks me out to be on a stage or on a panel or within a peer group, something like that, it's a little different. But when I choose to go someplace, it's like, what can I learn from you? What can I even learn from the people that I'm speaking to? You know, and the stuff that you pick up from having a natural curiosity, I've been talking about this lately, is cultivate curiosity
all the time
within yourself.
Yeah,
you know, and it's like, well, what do you mean? I'm not a curious person. I just look at what. There's ways to do that. You know, because I believe that people that are not curious actually have somewhat of an ego issue that they've got to kill, because it's so inward focused. You know, and when you start to look outward and realize, it's like, oh, there's all these other people, but it's not even so much what can I get from them.
Yeah.
It's like, what can I do from you? How can I help you?
Be of service.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's where the magic starts to take place.
Absolutely.
You
know, for sure.
When you bring value to anybody else, that's when you begin to be lifted up by the environment that you've placed yourself in to be of service to others.
Well, because as human beings, we're either coming for a problem. We're in a problem right now. We're heading towards a problem. And that's what happens in a typical week for somebody.
Yeah.
We're coming from a problem, in a problem, or heading towards a problem. If you and I right now got a challenge to fly to some country around the world, we didn't speak the language, never been there before, and they dropped us off, took our passports, credit cards, driver's license, everything around with us, and it's okay, you're going to live here for 30 days and you've got no money. First thing I would do in the first 24 hours is I'd establish my base camp. Where am I going to live?
Yep.
Okay. Then I figure out, okay, how much is it going to cost for me for the next 3 to 7 days to live? Okay, great. Where's an international hotel I can go to? Where's a 4 or 5 star hotel in a major city? Hopefully there's a major city around. Can I go to a Fairmont, a Four Seasons, a Ritz-Carlton, some kind of hotel? It's an international hotel where people speak my language. Then I'm going to go there. Can I shine your shoes? Can I dry, clean your clothes? Can I be your tour guide? Whatever you need me to do, I want to be a of service and solve a problem for you and help you out as an international traveler. Then I'm going to find a way to get money. Then that money's going to go and take care of my living expenses for the next 3 days to 7 days. Now that frees up my mind to not be thinking about lack and scarcity, but abundance and prosperity.
Yeah.
And I'm not thinking about survival, right? I'm thinking about thriving.
Yeah.
So now my basics are covered. Then I'm going to go out there and solve a problem by walking around the village, walking around the community, walking around the streets, and just finding ways to be of service, to solve problems, to serve people as a fair means of exchange to get paid for it. Then I'm going to get cashed up, money in my pocket. Then I'm going to look at how do I take care of my expense for the next week to 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and 4 weeks, and do that all within 7 days.
Hmm.
Now my financial expenses are covered for the next 30 days, so I can free up my mind to be of service to other people.
Yeah, yeah.
To be that go-giver. So the key thing is that what I've done in my life is creating multiple revenue streams, but also looking at whenever I do something, am I active or am I passive in what I'm doing?
Yeah.
And that's for a lot of people. We live in this vicious cycle. 78% of the North American population live paycheck to paycheck.
Oh yeah. It's a lot of passivity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they never break out of that.
You got it. Yeah. It's accepting what gets thrown at you.
Correct.
You know, and then just dealing with it. So it's completely in a reactive state.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the paycheck to paycheck. You know, it's but that brings it back to the curiosity, right? It's like it's almost like, oh, I wish things were different. Well, cool. Get curious as to how
Absolutely.
They could be different.
And when you see somebody doing something, rather than hate on them on social media, get curious. Say, oh my gosh, how does that person do that?
Yeah.
Right? I remember years ago, I saw somebody who was traveling around the world and they write off their business trips. Well, how do I do that? Well, they never go on vacation. They're always on a business trip. I think, well, how can I do that? How can I create international business where I can always go and write things off, right? And then you see people like, that person doesn't pay taxes. Well, you know, legally, they're being advised by somebody, but how do they do that? What's the rules of the game? And most people don't know what the rules of the game are, so they don't know how to play the game.
Yeah.
That's so important, because when the student's ready, the teachers appear, and then when you're ready, when you're open, you're curious, you'll attract the right like-minded people to come into your life that will come in as an example or as a warning to your life. And I say example or warning because some people come into your life. I've met people in my life that came in as mentors, completely no integrity, dishonest, unethical people. And they've been great blessings in my life because they teach me who not want to be.
For sure.
Right? And there's other people come into my life with great character and integrity and role models. Like, that's who I want to become more like.
Yeah, I love it. You know, and on that note, I'm very grateful that you've been in my life in that role as well.
And absolutely.
It's been a fun few years that we've known each other so far. Yeah, man, I appreciate you coming on too, because I didn't do much of a bio for you at the beginning. So anybody who stayed on this long, which is most, will look Darren up, you know, because DarrenJacklin.com is where we can find you.
DarrenJacklin.com, or if you want to come out with me sometime, go hikingfundraiser.com.
Hikingfundraiser.com. That's awesome.
We bring people from all walks of life. If you want to meet some pretty cool people, we have celebrities, sports athletes, people from all walks of life come out. And we build these schools around the world. And that's what really I get so much joy and enrichment out of. Business stuff is fun, but making a difference in solving problems and serving people and doing things for people who could never repay you is much more rewarding.
I love it. Absolutely. And we'll put the notes in the bio too, you know, or in the show notes, a little bit about your bio, because you might be, you know, an independent director of a very small company called EXP Realty. it's just a little guy, right?
Yeah.
Just a little guy. There's no office. It's so small.
It's all virtual. 90,000 people.
Right on. That's awesome. Thank you, my man. And go to DarrenJacklin.com, hikingfundraiser.com. You need to get a copy of his book and just read through it. A lot more stories. Brother, thank you for being on.
I'm grateful to be here and grateful to be in service.